My Blind Husband. Chapter 21. Breakfast isn't ruined. After all, ordinary people won't devise a plan to make their niece, which they brought up for 2 decades, marry a stranger to save their mother. Elvis' face paled slightly. I didn't have any other way. Charisse just has bad luck. He looked at Damien and wanted to say something but stopped. After a long time, he sighed. Mr. Lenore, Charisse is a great girl. I hope you can treat her well. Even if you don't like her. Don't hurt her too much if you don't want her in the future. Elvis spoke meekly. This was the first thing Charisse heard Elvis say. She was perspiring after climbing the stairs while holding breakfast. She was about to open the door of the stairwell. Her hand froze slightly, and her footsteps instantly stopped as though her feet were pinned to the ground. The door was light and made of alloy, but it seemed to weigh 1,000 pounds then. Charisse couldn't open the door. This isn't any of your concern. Damien's deep voice was cold and indifferent as usual. You should pray that your mother can live longer since you tried to save her at the expense of Charisse's youth. You made Charisse pay the price by getting married. Otherwise, it isn't worth it. Elvis' hands were clenched into fists at his sides. Charisse's hands were tightly clenched at the stairwell as she carried the food. Hey! Why is someone here? A scream abruptly rang behind her. Charisse was frightened and turned around. She didn't know a man and woman were on the platform behind her. At that moment, the man pushed the woman against the wall, exposing their fair legs. The woman was the one who had screamed. When Charisse came to her senses, they looked at her in astonishment. The scene before her was too blinding. Charisse turned away and pushed the door, wanting to leave. But she was careless from feeling so frantic. Therefore, Chapter 21. Breakfast isn't ruined. Crash. The girl fell face down on the marble floor in a weird posture as she held the food. Elvis and Damien turned at the same time. +5 free coins. Meanwhile, the girl behind them crawled up from the floor. She was covered in dirt, and a few strands of hair were caught in her mouth. She held up the food and looked at the contents foolishly. After that, she lifted her head innocently and looked at the two men far away. Thankfully, breakfast isn't ruined. Elvis sighed in exasperation and walked over quickly. As he took the breakfast from her, he helped brush the hair in her mouth away and dust off the dirt. Why are you so careless? And why did you take the stairs instead of the elevator? Charisse smiled in embarrassment. I was afraid Grandma would come out while I was out. I also thought you would be hungry. Many people were in the elevator, so I didn't squeeze in. I took the stairs instead. It's only 15 floors. I'm not tired. Elvis reached out to poke her forehead. You're already married. Pay more attention to your image in the future. Look at how much you're perspiring. Charisse smiled awkwardly. She pointed at the breakfast in Elvis' hands. Eat it while it's hot. Wipe away the sweat on your head. Elvis shook his head in exasperation before he turned to give Damien the food. The girl in the white tee shirt looked through her pockets but couldn't find a napkin. She was about to go to the washroom when a navy blue handkerchief appeared before her. A pair of slender hands were on the other end of the handkerchief. She took it subconsciously. Thank you. You should have known I wasn't hungry when I told you to buy breakfast. The man's deep voice rang. Charisse froze slightly as she was wiping her sweat. Chapter 22. You can't be so reckless. We were just sending you away so we could talk about things we didn't want you to know about. Charisse's actions stopped entirely. She turned and looked at Damien with a complicated expression. 2%. Plus 5 free coins. So you didn't have to rush back at all. Nor did you need to get yourself into such a wretched state. Charisse gritted her teeth and wanted to say something, but Elvis immediately started to smooth things over. Mr. Lenore, Charisse was afraid you were hungry. Please don't take offense. Charisse grew up in the countryside since she was young. She views things too simply sometimes. Please pardon her. Uncle Shaw. Charisse gritted her teeth. She didn't think she had done anything wrong, so she couldn't stand her uncle degrading her before Damien. Keep quiet, Charisse. Elvis took a deep breath. You're MFS. Lenore from now on. You can't be so reckless. You must know that you have a reputation as Mrs. Lenore. It's more important than this dispensable breakfast. But to me, you think your breakfast is more important. What nonsense is this? You're the Lenore family's daughter, in law, the wealthiest family in Mondale. The noise of the uncle and niece arguing made Damien turn away silently. He wheeled himself to the window to feel the morning breeze. Since he was around 10 years old, no one other than the villa's servants cared if he ate breakfast. No one would ever climb up more than 10 flights of stairs like Charisse just so he could have an earlier breakfast. He had always been lonely and desolate. Therefore, he felt contented when he heard ordinary people like Elvis and Charisse argue over something as simple as breakfast. The morning breeze caressed his face. He shut his eyes and had a self-deprecating smile on the corners of his lips. Here, your breakfast. A woman's crisp voice rang in his ears. I tried looking in the cafes downstairs but couldn't find your favorite milk and sandwiches, so I bought what was available. Don't turn it down. He turned and was faced with Charisse's tiny, charming face. She was looking down and inserting a straw into a milkshake. She looked up with a smile as she passed it to him. I bet someone as wealthy as you hasn't tried this before. It's delicious. Upon seeing that he wasn't taking it from her, she grabbed his hand and put the milkshake in it. I carried it up 15 floors. Don't be rude, okay? This was Damien's first time trying a milkshake outside. The milkshake was made of strawberries and bananas. A little sugar was added as well. The pure flavor of the fruits was intertwined with a slight sweetness. It resembled Damien's current feelings. The petite woman before him crouched down in front of his wheelchair. She stuffed a bagel into his hands as she held the milkshake for him. Do you want more? He shook his head. I'm full. Upon hearing that, Charisse shook the milkshake left in the cup. She finished the remainder of Damien's milkshake and bagel on the principle of not wasting food. After that, she went to Elvis' side and collected the packaging from his breakfast before disposing of them. The doors of the emergency room opened after that. A nurse pushed Mary out of the emergency room while a doctor removed his face mask. She isn't in critical condition anymore but must be on bed rest for some time. After that, the doctor looked at Elvis meaningfully. She's in poor health. As her family, I hope you can pay more attention to her. She cannot be agitated further. Chapter 23. An envious woman. Elvis nodded viciously. I understand. Charisse furrowed her brows fiercely when she heard what the doctor said. Has Grandma been upset by anything lately? When Mary learned Charisse was marrying a disabled person, she fell seriously ill. Not long had passed, so what had agitated her again? She cast a doubtful gaze at Elvis. Elvis looked away hurriedly. He pushed Mary back to the hospital room with the nurse. Mary remained unconscious. After Charisse confirmed that Mary was all right, she led Damien to visit Mary before leaving. Damien returned home while Charisse went to school. At school, she felt uneasy. She felt the students around her were looking at her strangely. In the evening, Lucy went to Charisse after classes ended, panting with rage. Cherry, I'm telling you. An envious woman is really terrifying. At that moment, Charisse was looking at a post on the campus confession page. The username of the person who had posted the confession was Cressida Moon. Cressida Moon wrote a mysterious post saying she noticed a wealthy person was providing for a country girl who seemed very poor. Cressida Moon also listed proof that the girl was being provided for. For example, being sent to and picked up from school in a luxury car. Another example was that in the past, the girl used to hang out in the library when she didn't have classes, but she was now nowhere to be seen. Yet another example was that the girl had poor relatives asking for money at the school's entrance. And so on and so forth. As Charisse read the post and comments of other students' guesses below the post, she asked, "What's up?" Upon seeing Charisse look at her cell phone earnestly, Lucy leaned over, and her jaw dropped. She instantly turned off Charisse's cell phone screen. "You're looking at the post." Charisse was confused. "What's wrong?" Cressida Moon is Cressa LYCS. When her classes ended yesterday evening, Charisse recalled that Cressa saw her enter Damien's car. Upon seeing Charisse's blank face, Lucy poked her head in exasperation. "She's talking about you, but you're reading the post calmly." Charisse wrinkled her brows slightly. "I don't think it's me, right? Although I'm sent to and picked up from school in a luxury car and haven't been to the library lately, none of my relatives have come to trouble me. Moreover, many students are being sent to and picked up from school in luxury cars. Many have suddenly stopped hanging around in the library as well. How can others think it's me?" Lucy rolled her eyes. She took out her cell phone and showed Charisse photos of the school entrance. "Isn't this your aunt?" Charisse stared at it. The woman in the picture on Lucy's cell phone was Ariana, who had failed to make trouble at the hospital in the morning. "Why is she here?" As the best university in Mondale, poor relatives of students would often ask for money at the entrance. But Charisse never thought that Ariana, her aunt who wasn't biologically related to her, would one day come to her school to look for her. "Let's leave through the back door." Lucy sighed upon seeing Charisse's astonished expression. "I guessed you would be defenseless, so I deliberately came back to look for you. Cressa has posted the photo in the forums. If you leave from the main entrance and your aunt catches you, the whole school will discover you're the needy girl being provided for. A chill crept over Charisse's heart. Gossip was frightening. Although she never felt like marrying Damien was embarrassing, she was used to her peace and being ordinary. She didn't want to be the topic of other people's idle conversation. Charisse took a deep breath, and her grip on her cell phone tightened. Let's go through the back door. Chapter 24. Blue Darts. Ariana was an annoying troublemaker. Charisse didn't want to be involved with her. But Charisse never thought Ariana's underlings would ambush her at the school's back door. The school's isolated and uninhabited back door was overgrown with weeds. Lucy pulled Charisse to the back door. They had just left when the hooligans guarding the back door surrounded them. I'm right. You really left from the back door. The crafty leader smiled maliciously. I haven't seen you in a long time, Cherry. The man looked like a criminal. Lucy frowned slightly. Who is this? Charisse took a deep breath. Aunt Ariana's son, Nicky Gruber. Nicky was 3 years older than Charisse but kept repeating grades because of his poor results. When Charisse sat for her SATs, Nicky had just gotten into a dubious, third-rate school in Audania. He had sinister thoughts about Charisse since they were young. He had even tried to force her to. If her uncle hadn't reached in time, she would have taken her own life at the scene. When Charisse thought of how she had been bullied by Nicky in the past, a wave of nausea emerged uncontrollably in her heart. She retreated subconsciously, but Nicky's friends were behind her. Cherry, you're studying in Audania. Why have you never come to look for me? If my mom didn't ask me where your school was, I wouldn't have known my beloved cousin was in the same city as me. As he spoke, he approached Charisse with a sneer. I haven't seen you in a few years. You're glowing, Cherry. He smiled suggestively, giving Lucy goosebumps. She summoned her courage and stood in front of Charisse. You're not worthy to be Charisse's cousin. You're disgusting. Tsk, tsk. You say such nasty things, pretty girl. A cigarette hung from the corner of Nicky's mouth. He indicated for his friends to apprehend Lucy. After that, he scoffed while approaching Charisse. Charisse, come here and let me look at you. Charisse's hands by her side were clenched into fists. She pursed her lips and glared straight at him. Don't come near me. What are you going to do if I come to you? Nicky smiled maliciously and leaned closer to her. A man behind Charisse held her hands to prevent her from escaping. As Nicky approached Charisse crudely. Swish. A sharp dart landed on Nicky's right knee. He staggered in pain, and his other leg knelt on the ground. At the same time, there was another swish. Another dart flew past and hit him firmly in his left knee. Crash. Nicky knelt on the ground with both knees before Charisse. The abrupt and unforeseen situation left Charisse, Lucy, Nicky, and his friends at the scene stupefied. As the people around Nicky helped him stand up, he pulled the dart from his knee and looked around frantically. Who was it? Damn it. So meddlesome. A small blue dart was in his hands. Charisse furrowed her brows. While cleaning the bedside table this morning, she had seen this type of dart in Damien's drawer. When she had picked it up, She wanted to ask him if the dart was his. But when she thought about it, he was blind. How could he see the dartboard if he couldn't see his newly wedded wife? She didn't ask him to avoid bringing up a sad matter. But why is this dart here? And why did it happen to land on Nikki's knee? Scoundrel! Show yourself! Chapter 25. Is he mute too? No one appeared among the overgrown weeds. Nikki felt that the person who had thrown the dart was a coward who only dared to hide in the dark, so he spoke nastily. Don't freaking hide in the dark. Don't you dare to come out? Are you a coward? The surroundings were momentarily quiet. Another swish was heard. A dart flew and landed on Nikki's chin, and he howled in grief. Your mouth is filthy. You deserve it. A quiet young voice rang. Charisse raised her head and subconsciously looked toward the sound. She saw a young boy who seemed to be 12 or 13 walk over calmly while pushing a wheelchair. The man in the wheelchair had his eyes covered with black silk. He looked arrogant and shrewd. It's just a blind man and a child, but you have the nerve to be arrogant. The man beside Nikki sneered. Nick, should we attack? Attack. Nikki jeered. Leave the little one to me. Make sure the disabled one becomes more paralyzed. After Nikki instructed his friends, they headed straight for Damien. 2 minutes later, Charisse and Lucy looked at the men on the ground in astonishment. They were covering their heads with their hands and wailing. What? They didn't see clearly how the young boy had done it. The child had managed to attack more than 10 men. Nikki gritted his teeth in pain. As he bawled, he took out his cell phone to send Ariana a message. Wait and see, Charisse Shaw. I'll tell my mom to come and look for you now. Not only will she ask you for money, but you'll also have to pay for my hospital bills. Lucy pursed her lips. She walked to Nikki and kicked him. You bully the weak, but you're afraid of the powerful. Cherry didn't hit you. If you're so clever, ask the person who beat you up to pay your medical bill. That's right. The young boy pursed his lips. He gestured like he was going to punch Nikki again. Nikki, who had just threatened Charisse, immediately crawled up and escaped in embarrassment. After they left, Charisse took a deep breath and started thanking the young boy. The boy in the white sportswear smiled at her. No problem. It's for Dame. Dame. Charisse glanced at Damien, perplexed. The black Maserati was parked by the road. Mr. Carlson got out of the car. As he helped Damien into the car, he explained. This is Blake. I found him 10 years ago. He's 13 years old this year. He was seriously ill when he was young and had trouble interacting with others. He stutters, but he's a good boy. Mr. Lenore treats him like a younger brother. As Mr. Carlson spoke, he called the young boy over. Blake, this is Cherry. The young boy named Blake walked to Charisse respectfully. He smiled as he greeted her, "Hello, Cherry." After exchanging greetings, they entered the vehicle. Mr. Carlson drove while Damien, Charisse, and Lucy sat in the back seat. The car was silent. They even breathed guardedly. Charisse quietly glanced at Blakeoy through the rearview mirror. He was still standing at the school's back door. Mr. Carlson, is it okay to leave him there alone? Mr. Carlson drove calmly. Yes. Blake has his own way of getting around. You don't have to worry, Mrs. Lenore. Oh. Charisse nodded. She turned and glanced at Damien as he leaned back in the genuine leather seat on her left. Charisse didn't know if he was asleep. She glanced at Lucy on her right, who was as quiet as a mouse. After frowning at Charisse, Lucy took pen and paper from her bag. She wrote for a while before passing the paper to Charisse. Charisse furrowed her brows and took it. Lucy's careless writing was on it. Didn't you say that your husband is blind? Is he mute too? Chapter 26. A burden. Charisse's figure trembled slightly. She subconsciously turned to glance at Damien next to her. The man was still leaning back in his chair like before. He hadn't moved. She took a deep breath and picked up the pen to write her reply. Of course, he isn't mute. He speaks. So why isn't he saying anything? Charisse wrinkled her brows as she looked at what Lucy had written. That's right. Why isn't he saying anything? Since Blake had pushed him to the school's back door, he didn't seem to have said anything until now. She bit her lips and racked her brains before she sighed. Damien must be angry. Why is he angry? Perhaps he feels like he married a burden. Perhaps when Damien married her, he never thought her family would be so complicated. Not only did she have aunts who wanted money from her uncle, but she also had a shameless cousin like Nikki. A burden. Lucy was confused at the word Charisse used. Wealthy people don't like troublesome people. My relatives are very troublesome. Charisse sighed deeply. She suddenly felt that the pen in her hands was slightly heavy. After a long time, she wrote down her worst thought. Perhaps he's already planning to divorce me. Women had boundless imaginations. The man, whose eyes were covered by black silk, leaned back in his chair and shook his head subtly. A trace of a smile was in the corners of his lips. The car quickly arrived at an intersection near Lucy's house. I can get down here. Lucy said to Mr. Carlson before patting Charisse's shoulder gently. Don't think of the worst. After she left, Charisse leaned in her chair and was lost in thought as she watched the landscape outside the window sweep past continuously. Don't think of the worst. She wasn't thinking of the worst now, it was the reality. Has your cousin always treated you like this? The man's deep voice rang softly in her ears when she was lost in thought. Charisse was startled and turned. The man, whose eyes were covered with black silk, was still in his previous posture as he leaned back. A thoughtful expression was on his face. She pursed her lips. I'm thinking about what to eat for dinner. A relaxed smile was on the corners of the man's lips. Have you decided? Her mind was restless, and she wanted him to stop asking her. Not yet. Let's eat out for a change. I happen to want something different today. After that, the man spoke indifferently to Mr. Carlson, who was driving to Garden Paradise. Mr. Carlson was slightly taken aback. Are you sure, Mr. Lenore? Yes. Tell Blake to get ready. All right. Their conversation left Charisse baffled. They were just going out for a meal. Why did it sound so serious? What did Blake have to prepare? 30 minutes later, Charisse and Damien arrived at the so called Garden Paradise. She finally understood why Mr. Carlson had reacted that way. The so called Garden Paradise wasn't a restaurant. It was the rooftop of a hotel. The hotel was over 30 floors high. It wasn't tall or short but showcased Mondale's evening scenery. The rooftop's security measures were comprehensive. It was also decorated gorgeously, but only one table was there. Mr. Carlson pushed Damien to the table, and Charisse sat across from him. A waiter walked up to them. Mr. Lenore, would you like the usual course? Chapter 27. My woman. Yes, the usual. The waiter nodded and left. The table was soon filled with various delicacies that Charisse had never seen. Plus 5 free coins. Upon seeing the curious gaze in her eyes as she looked at the food, Damien said nonchalantly, "Let's eat." Charisse nodded. She picked up her utensils and started eating. She hadn't eaten lunch because of what had happened in the morning with Mary. Her stomach was rumbling with hunger after so many hours. She suddenly thought of something when they were almost done with their meal. She looked up at Damien. Where's Blake? Didn't he ask Blake to do something? Why don't I see Blake at all? Mr. Carlson, who was at the side, looked at the time. He's late. He'll reach in a minute. Charisse acknowledged it and didn't overthink it. She looked down and continued eating. She knew Blake was arriving soon but never thought he wouldn't be alone. The young boy dressed in white sportswear slowly walked up the stairs. He was dragging a long iron chain in his hands. The other end of the iron chain was fastened tightly to a man's hands. The man behind Blake was covered in blood and couldn't stand up. He drooped on the ground weakly. And his pants were tattered from being dragged. His flesh was exposed, and it was dripping with blood. Clang! The cutlery in Charisse's hands fell to the ground. She was rendered speechless from astonishment at the scene before her. The man before her gracefully took another set of utensils and gave it to her. Are you full? Charisse held her cutlery stiffly. She couldn't move her eyes away from the man behind Blake. Traffic was bad. Blake tugged on the iron chain viciously. The man behind him fell in response. Charisse finally saw clearly the face of the man that Blake was pulling. It was as though the air was knocked out of her. Nikki. Cherry Nikki looked up. The wound on his head was bleeding, and blood flowed to his face. He looked at Charisse, and his voice was hoarse. I'm sorry. I won't harass you in the future. I beg you to let me go. Charisse gritted her teeth viciously. For a moment, she didn't know if she should help Nikki plead for mercy. On the one hand, she abhorred Nikki. Everything he had done to her all these years disgusted her greatly. On the other hand, Nikki was Grandma's biological grandson and Uncle Shaw's biological nephew. Was she really going to stand by and watch? She isn't the one you should beg. The man in the wheelchair reached out his large and slender hands to hold his utensils. He calmly ate the celery before him. I sent someone to teach you a lesson and bring you here. She can't change my mind or determine whether you live or die. Nikki gritted his teeth. The pain had started to distort his expressions. Mister, I know what I said might have offended you, but you don't hold grudges, right?
I do.
Damien laughed indifferently. He picked up his red wine and sipped it. I heard that you've tormented my woman many times.
Nikki was taken aback.
Your woman?
Charisse Shaw.
It was as though Nikki was struck by lightning. He couldn't move.
Charisse was a scrawny and petite country bumpkin.
How did she get to know someone of such stature?
And she was even with him.
Nikki subconsciously sized up the man whose eyes were covered with silk ribbon.
You.
According to your seniority in the family, perhaps I should be more polite to you.
A bleak and cold smile was on the corners of Damien's lips.
But I don't want to.
Chapter 28.
Don't you hate him?
Nikki was covered in blood, and he immediately shook his head.
It's all right.
You don't have to.
I don't deserve it.
I'm glad you know it.
The man raised his red wine indifferently and sipped it.
Tell me what you did to Charisse in the past.
Nikki was startled.
He subconsciously turned to look at Charisse standing at one side.
I. Charisse stood on the spot, and her hands were tightly clasped.
She was utterly at a loss.
I took advantage of Charisse in the past and almost.
Blake, wearing white sportswear, furrowed his brows and stomped on Nikki viciously.
Spit it out.
When Charisse was a freshman in high school, I took advantage of the fact that she was alone in Uncle Shaw's house, so I.
That's enough.
Charisse interrupted fiercely before Nikki could finish speaking.
She turned to look at Damien.
What on earth are you doing?
He acted like he was standing up for her by turning Nikki into such a state, then made Nikki personally describe how he had harassed her back then.
It seems like you were very hurt by it.
Damien yawned and waved at Blake.
There's no need to continue.
Blake nodded and pulled the iron chain.
He dragged Nikki to the other end of the rooftop.
Only then did Charisse notice that the rooftop's edge had no protective measures.
At that moment, Blake had pulled Nikki to the dangerous edge.
With Blake's temper, he'll kick Nikki down in 1 minute.
Damien sipped his red wine calmly.
Tell me if you're bullied in the future.
Charisse felt her blood run cold.
She glanced at Damien and peeked at Blake, who was dragging Nikki to the edge.
I never wanted Nikki to die.
After that, she disregarded everything and ran to Blake.
She reached out to pull the iron chain in Blake's hand in the other direction.
You have no right to decide a person's life and death.
They were 30 floors from the ground.
No one could survive after falling from such a height.
The man in the wheelchair still spoke indifferently.
Don't you hate him?
He had clearly seen the hatred in her eyes for Nikki when they were at the school's back door.
He had promised he wouldn't let her feel aggrieved again and wanted to keep that promise.
Even if I hate him, I don't want him to die.
Charisse pursed her lips and turned to look at the man behind her.
No matter what, he's my aunt's son.
Even if I hate him, I won't let him die.
That's right.
I won't take advantage of Cherry in the future.
Save me.
Upon seeing Charisse help him plead for mercy, Nikki immediately crawled to the railing.
After this, I'll be well, behaved.
Damien furrowed his brows slightly and put down the wine glass in his hands.
His voice was somewhat restless.
Blake, let Nikki go.
After that, he waved at Mr. Carlson, who went forward to push him away. As the doors to the rooftop shut, only Charisse, Blake, and Nikki were left on the rooftop. Blake pursed his lips and threw the iron chain restraining Nikki to one side. He mumbled, "How dull," before he left. Nikki frantically crawled to the middle of the rooftop. He glared at Charisse, who was staring blankly at one side. "What are you staring at? Come and undo the chain." After Damien left, Nikki's voice immediately turned into the old Nikki who harassed Charisse. Charisse was still startled from almost seeing someone die and had yet to return to her senses. She obediently went to free Nikki when she heard him shout at her. But little did she imagine that when the iron chain was undone, Nikki turned over and pushed her to the ground. He grabbed her neck. "You're amazing, you despicable wench. You found someone to mess with." Chapter 29. Why did you come back? Charisse never imagined that the person she had saved at the expense of offending Damien would turn around and press her against the ground. Her throat was viciously choked. She wanted to struggle but couldn't find the strength at all. "Wench. If I knew you were so vengeful, I would have taken advantage of you back then. Perhaps you wouldn't have looked for a man outside to harm me." Nikki grew angrier as he spoke, and he exerted more force. Charisse was pinned under him and couldn't even make a noise to shout for help. In the end, her vision started to get fuzzy. As everything started to get hazy, she had a thought. If she died, was it Damien's fault or her fault? She wanted to spare Nikki's life since they were relatives, but she never thought he would be so ungrateful. Just as Charisse thought she would die, a navy blue dart landed firmly on Nikki's hand. At the next moment, a whip was flicked from the direction of the rooftop's doors. It hit Nikki, and he lay on the ground howling. After escaping Nikki's control, Charisse turned over and covered her neck as she coughed incessantly. Her throat felt uncomfortable, as though something had crushed it flat. "Are you all right?" After a long time, a large and slender hand reached out to her. She was slightly taken aback as she looked up. The glow of the sunset shone from his left. Half his face was gilded. At that moment, his face, which was covered with black silk, immediately emanated an alluring radiance. Charisse looked at him and stopped coughing. "Why did you come back?" Her voice was awfully hoarse. Damien reached out to grab her arm and pulled her into his arms. The man had a chilly air around him, making her slightly dizzy. "Of course, I wouldn't have left you here alone." Charisse was startled. "So you expected that he would do something to me?" "Not really." The man glanced indifferently at Nikki at the side, whom Blake had tied up again. "Since you wanted to give him a chance, I gave him one. If he was grateful to you after we left, I naturally wouldn't have made things difficult for him. It's a shame." As the man spoke, Blake kicked Nikki violently. Nikki lay on the ground and let out a howl before he ultimately fainted. Weak. Blake kicked Nikki a few times and saw that Nikki had stopped moving, so Blake used his leg to check. "He's fainted." Charisse pursed her lips. "Anyone would faint after getting beaten up like this, right?" She couldn't help but ask Damien, "What's going to happen to Nikki now? Are you still going to kill him?" Not exactly. The man reached out and gently caressed her tender lips. But since he has the nerve to have such thoughts about you, I'll destroy this desire for good. Charisse was slightly astonished. She didn't quite understand what Damien meant. How are you going to destroy it for good? Damien was visibly taken aback by her question. He reached out to stroke her hair as he explained. After that, he hugged her with one hand and started to wheel them away with the other. She felt embarrassed at such a posture and struggled for a long time before breaking free. She wiped her flushed cheeks. I'll push you. The man in the wheelchair smiled indifferently. You must get used to such a life since your husband is disabled. This will happen when we're intimate. You've got your reading rewards, tap the on the right top of the page to collect them. Does this book fit your cultural background? Chapter 30. Shouldn't family members help each other? Charisse shook her head. She pushed him to the elevator and said earnestly, we can be intimate at home. We don't have to do this. For example, like on the couch, and in bed, and the man scratched his lips indifferently. You can be on top too. Charisse was dumbstruck. Perhaps it was easier to feel sleepy on a full stomach. On the way to Lenore Manor from Garden Paradise, Charisse leaned back in the genuine leather seat and fell asleep in a daze. A sharp ringtone awoke her from her dreams after some time. She reached out for her cell phone, half conscious, and answered. Hello. Charisse, it's Aunt Ariana. Ariana's insincere voice rang on the other end. I'm in Audania Hospital now. Your cousin got into a fight and is severely injured. I didn't bring any money. Can you? No. Charisse took a deep breath, and her voice instantly hardened. She said coldly, Aunt Ariana, you should know I'm still studying and don't have much money. On the other end, Ariana laughed. I know you don't have much money, but aren't you married now? The blind man at home. No, your husband. His money belongs to him. It's not mine. Charisse was wide awake from the woman's voice on the other end of the phone. She crawled out of bed and realized she was lying in the large bed in her and Damien's room. Did I fall asleep and sleepwalk back to the bedroom? Charisse. Ariana spoke for a long time on the other end of the phone and shouted in displeasure when she was greeted with silence. Charisse, I don't often call you or ask for help, but you're acting like this. Shouldn't family members help each other? We helped you a lot back when you were in the countryside. Right? Charisse's heart gradually turned cold as she held her cell phone. It would have been better for Ariana not to mention what had happened in the past because Chins couldn't muster any sympathy for her when she did. When Charisse was in school, she wanted to help her uncle and aunt save money, so she ran to Ariana's house to borrow Nikki's old textbooks. In the end, Ariana had shamed her, and she had helped to do a week's worth of farm work before Ariana was willing to lend her Nikki's old textbooks. She remembered how Ariana had shamed her back then. Still, Ariana was now saying that family members should help each other? Charisse held her breath and hung up. But how could Ariana be prepared to let it go? Ariana called her multiple times, disturbing Charisse so much that she was no longer feeling sleepy. She turned her cell phone off and went downstairs to make herself a glass of warm milk. While heating the milk, she thought Damien might still be awake, so she made him a glass. 3 minutes later, she carried two glasses of milk upstairs with a tray. She heard Blake and Damien's conversation inside when she passed the study room. "You've improved a lot, but you're not using enough strength. Did you see clearly the darts I threw today?" Blake's voice was still stifled as usual. "No. It was too quick." "Of course, it has to be quick. Otherwise, others will see you making a move. Then, how can you catch them off guard?" "I'll work harder." Charisse was confused when she heard it as she carried the milk. She didn't expect Blake to be around, so she had only prepared two glasses for herself and Damien. As she pondered if she should make another glass, Mr. Carlson's voice rang from behind. "Mrs. Lenore." The sudden voice made Charisse lose her balance slightly. She almost spilled the milk.